Welcome to another episode of Hair Biz Radio with your hosts, Zakira and
Mikey.
And today we have a special guest on with us. Her name is Bree, master cosmetologist. She is a healthy hair specialist and the owner of The Hair Spill, which is a digital planner for hairstylists.
Yes, ma'am.
For budgeting. Absolutely. Yep. So today we're going to get into a great conversation. We kind of already started pre-podcast, but we're going to dive into it today. And y'all are going to learn some good stuff. I'm actually very excited about this conversation. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I am a huge fan of you hairstylists, but trust me, you need a spell put on you for some of this stuff that we're about to talk about. So that's why we're here today. I mean, but we all do. We all need to improve, but there's definitely certain people or groups of people that we know need a little extra help.
Definitely.
So we have tools to do so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wrote a whole book for the industry, or people want to start the hair industry.
So, yep. Shameless plug.
Book, by the way, wonderful book.
See? Yes. Make sure you read Fearless Beauty.
Definitely. It's an amazing read. And it's one of those books that if you've read a self-help book, you know that a really great self-help book, you know that you can always put it back on the shelf, but always take it back, because there's points in there that you can go back and say, oh my God, like I remember reading about this. Let me go back. I do that with so many books, and it's just, they're great resources to have. Just like you would listen to a podcast or watch an interview on YouTube, you can always go back to books as well. So before we dive into this amazing episode today, Private Label was at Bronner Brothers last week. Ooh, yeah. And actually Bree was there too. Yeah. So
who did you meet to get in contact for this podcast? Was it Nick?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah. So she met Nick. We were all at Bronner Brothers together. It was a pretty good show. I was excited about being in New Orleans. Yeah. Had some good oysters.
Yes.
Yeah. The show turned out.
Did you drink hand grenades?
No. Actually, I had been on a over, I think it was 7 week hiatus.
No alcohol. Yes. Alcohol. I remember that.
Congratulations. Weeks,
so that was cool.
You said did. Which passing?
Norman, Bourbon Street will suck you. Okay? We were out on Bourbon Street. Nick was feeling it. There's some videos going viral. Him doing the split somehow.
No way.
Look, I'm just saying. So Bourbon Street and just, yeah, I was just like, okay, I've done it enough. And usually I try to do a month a year.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's good for you to just kind of go cold turkey. But I've been working on my diet and what I've kind of, not eating as much as I thought I needed to eat. Mm-hmm. It's been really an interesting journey. I've never done this before.
Yeah.
So that's been fun. It's a little challenging when you travel and eating healthy.
Yes, I found that to be very challenging.
Big challenge. Mm-hmm. And when you're not eating, and then you're so used to eating healthy, and then you just kind of fall off the wagon a little bit, it really affects your energy.
Oh, yeah. Else. You can always tell when you put something in your body that your body isn't used to. They're like, whoa, wait a second. What is this? Yeah, we're not used to this. Fast. Yeah. Yeah. We're not used to this.
But the show, I mean, you know, think about it. The show was shut down for what, like 3 years or 2.5 years
because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. And then to come back from that, it's going to be really, really tough. You know, Miami definitely didn't pull the numbers we thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
And then New Orleans, I wasn't sure what to expect. We kind of dumbed it down a little bit for what we did at Private Label.
Mm-hmm.
But we met so many people that have been rolling with us since 2014, 2015, nice. 16, talking about the old space that we used to have and be like, oh my God, you're here. You're in person. Like, I actually get to meet you. I'm so excited.
Yeah, the original space was a how many square feet room?
Man, maybe 150?
Yeah.
Not 200.
So it's small. Maybe like the size of this, but a little wider.
But a square.
Yes, yeah, square.
More like this.
Half of this and a little wider.
Yeah.
And look at what y'all have grown into. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
6-7 locations.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It's beautiful. Goals.
Yeah. And actually someone reached out to me this morning because they said, Mikey, I've been, you know, buying hair from you. You've been our vendor since 2015. I used to go to the 444 building, which was that. And she's like, I just saw you on this TV show. I don't need to mention any names, but yeah. And she's like, you re-motivated me seeing this, seeing how like opportunities are possible. And I told her, I said, so many doors and opportunities have opened up for us here at Private Label because we've been consistent for a decade.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. Consistency yields results over time. And it's like the small habits, the small things every single day, you'll eventually see some change.
Yeah. So Bronner Brothers was great. I'm excited about Long Beach and trying to figure that out because that's not just driving 7 hours,
right.
But we're going to work it out. So we have some meetings coming up with the Bronner's team. So they've been great to work with for us.
You're going to need the cartel to move on. I know.
So I'm going to. I'm not going to give any hints of how I'm going to try to do it, but I'm going to try to sneak some stuff in somewhere and get it over there somehow. Tell you what, I'm going to utilize my Delta 3 free carry or 3 free check-in bags.
Oh, yeah.
Going to work on that status a little bit and probably bring all the product that way. But, look, I'm going to do what I'm going to do just to make it happen. Even if a small presence, you got to have a product. It's Bronner Brothers.
Yes.
Come on. You got to have a presence.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. You know.
Yeah. So we're going to get into it. Yeah. That's like my favorite thing to say right now. My husband be like, what? So we're going to get into this podcast episode and start off with Bree. We are so happy to have you today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, definitely. So let's start with your journey. Like, what made you want to get into the hair industry? Because you started off as a hairstylist going to Empire Beauty School. So kind of just talk about your journey getting into the industry.
Okay, so my dad owned a barbershop when I was younger. And I think that kind of really sparked a lot of my interest. I've always been a creative, dabbled in here a little bit. Really, I thought I was going to be a film director. I really wanted to go to school for film. And 2 days before I was supposed to move in at Valdosta, I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to go.
Wow.
My parents were like, no, you got to do something. Like, you can't stay here.
You got to go.
Exactly. They were like, are you going to work? Are you going to school? And I was like, okay, give me a semester off. Let me figure this out. So I enrolled at Empire. And from there, I've been stuck since. Like, even on days where I was like, you know what? I don't want to do hair anymore. I always found it to still be my passion. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me just see where this goes. After I graduated school, I worked in a salon for 4 years as like pretty much an assistant stylist kind of thing. And then I left. And I had no clue what I was doing. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this by myself. I was giving so much to everyone else's business that mm-hmm. I kind of just fell to the back burner. I wanted to kind of play the behind the scenes. And that really was not my calling. I've known since I was a child that I had something bigger. Just never knew that it would have been this.
Yeah.
So about 2 years ago, I moved into a salon suite and I've been cultivating Bri Alyssa in the hair spell ever since. And now it's growing, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm learning all of the ins and outs as a solo entrepreneur. And I've just been having a ball with it, really. I created the hair spell recently. So that's my newest project that I am still learning, growing pains through. Mm-hmm. But so far, so good. I love the industry. I love being here. Like, I eat, sleep, and breathe hair. If I don't do hair for a few days, I feel off.
I love that.
Like in New Orleans, I wasn't styling. So I was like, yeah, I'm around, cosmetologists and other stylists, but something is not right. When I got back home, I took one client just to feel it again. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah. So did you, when you decided that you weren't going to go to college 2 days before it was time to move in, after that one semester off, did you have any regrets of not going?
No.
That's good.
I have not regretted it at all. And don't get me wrong. Like I even went to school after I finished my cosmetology program.
Mm-hmm.
For business, and I still want to finish, but obviously, I'm gonna be realistic. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And I was more so focused on, okay, let me build my clientele and build a life for myself so that way when it is time for me to go to school, I can focus on just going to school and not having to worry about client school and bills in between.
Yep.
No regrets. Loving every minute of it. I have a thing where I feel like I am supposed to be exactly where I am at all times.
Yep.
And that has been, thank you. I have been where I'm supposed to be at all times. So it's been pretty great.
That's awesome. So what was your experience like going through beauty school when you first started? Was it like?
You went to Empire, right?
Yeah, Empire Dunwoody. Beauty school is a thing. I was one of the youngest in my class because I had went basically fresh out of high school. And you meet so many people of different ages, different races, different backgrounds from different sides of towns. And it intimidated me, honestly. It intimidated me so bad that I ended up getting super close to the director and spending most of my time in his office. I had one friend that we are still cool today. She kind of basically guided me through beauty school because she had already been styling. But yeah, it was an experience. It was very much a lot of personalities roaming through the building. And just seeing that as a 18-year-old, 19-year-old, and you're like, hold on, these are grown women. Like, what is happening? But it definitely gave me the tools I needed now, especially as far as theory goes, because, you know, a lot of stylists don't have that theory portion
or can't
even tell you much about that. So I kind of feel like I did the right thing, made the right decision, going, no regrets.
I love that. I love that. So you worked in a salon for 4 years as an assistant. What do you think is the biggest thing you learned being in a salon with other people and a salon owner coming fresh out of beauty school? What was like that aha or like that big thing that you learned or a few things that you learned?
The biggest thing was for me, beauty school teaches you theory. The salon teaches you real life. You are dealing with, especially in our community, you are dealing with women that are vocal, that don't play about their hair. They want to style a certain way and they are spending money on their hair. So, of course, I, you know, went to school. I'm thinking I'm lit, you know, I got my license. I can do it. And I stepped into the salon and I was like, I can't really do this. Like, the work just wasn't pleasing to me. So I did take that time to grow under the owner and kind of learn more techniques and things like that, expanding my skill set and just really seeing how she ran her business. And I was like, okay, yes or no, maybe, maybe not, like, and learn from that. And I really took that experience and honed it into my own because I learned some things that I, you know, some ways I wouldn't want to run my business and some ways I don't want to run my business. That was really the biggest thing, like, real life versus theory, necessarily practical, technically, versus theory. That was the biggest difference for me going into a salon. Strangely enough, I'm an introvert, but people loved my personality. So I had a ball, like, being there, you know, the time that I was there, but that was pretty much it.
Like, and that's so similar to going to college. It's like you go to college for 4 years and you come out of college and you're expected to do everything right in the world of corporate America or any businesses, but it's like you don't really get that hands-on training while you're nurturing and learning and building in college, school, or any of those things. So it's so crazy how that works. It's like you pay all this money, go to school, and then now you still have to get out and go in the real world and do all of this work to actually learn hands-on what it is that you learned in college or school.
Absolutely.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, I think that everybody listening to this, if you're a new hairstylist, one thing that I think a lot of people make a mistake of is they get their cosmetology license. They're like, oh, I'm going to go get my salon suite now. I'm going to be so successful.
Yeah.
And probably because TikTok told you to. Okay. But you can't put a value on saying, hey, I'm still young. Even if you're not that young, it doesn't matter. Let me learn from someone that's actually doing it. And what you said is kind of where you're going through and looking how the operation is run and maybe things that you would change, right? And start coming up with your own playbook, learning the business side, because the problem with a lot of hairstylists are they're very creative but lack the business side.
Yep.
So start learning some of the business side from someone that's doing it. Whether they're doing it great or not, you can still learn from them.
Absolutely.
Then jump into something where you have a much larger commitment, like, you know, signing a lease or something else.
Yeah.
That's key.
Yeah. I think that's so important. And that's like with any business and in the hair industry too. It's like you get in the business and you want to spend all of this money doing all of the things and buying a warehouse or buying a suite or buying an office or paying all of this money to get the best of the best things. And it's like, sis, you have not made any money. Like, let's make money first and then start to pour back into your business, reinvest those things. And then after a while, you'll be able to, you know, reap the benefits of the work that you've done. And I love that Mikey talks about this a lot too, like being a business owner, not paying himself for a very long time when the business actually started and poured everything back into the business. And I think that that's so important and it helps you grow and scale a lot faster than if you were spending all this money at the dime when you make money. It's like you make it, you spend it, you make it, you spend it. And now you're in this perpetual cycle of living paycheck to paycheck.
Exactly. So to touch on that, I actually went through that same thing and that's how I created the planner.
Yeah.
What was crazy to me about that was it was like even now, I'm technically still in it. I only spend money for my necessities, my bills in the salon or my businesses. All that freelance stuff, you got to find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do, sis, but you got to get out there and find it for something else, because all of that money is already designated because I have, you know, a budget that I'm creating to work within, so I can make sure that the salon is taken care of, the hair spell is taken care of, and Brie is taken care of, so I can be in the salon. Mm-hmm. But I try not to free leisure spend at all.
Do you think that, I love that you said that, do you think that it's a thing that you're not at least creating leisure into the budget that you have so that you're not lacking that social or self-care side of life?
For me, no, but it's just because of the type of person that I am. Okay. I would rather have stability than anything else.
Got it.
But for some people, it would be, you know, a little bit difficult. And, you know, I always recommend if you do decide to, you know, add leisure, just make sure you budget it out so you're not overspending or you're not getting any surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Purchases.
For sure. Yeah. I think I'm the type of person where in my budget, I have like a Zakira's leisure budget inside of our budget, because I'm going to go crazy if I can't go to the spa at least once a month. Like, I need a brunch. Like, I need something, but it's all calculated. It's like once I hit that number, it's over for me for the month, you know, until the next month rolls around. So I love the budget planning. I think we've worked with so many stylists. I know so many stylists that starting off, they made so much money. I'm talking 6 and 7 figures a year, and they have nothing to show for it because they get hand-to-hand money. They get cash, or they get Zelles or Cash Apps, and it's like they have no clue how to budget or make room for all of their expenses or stuff that they have. So the fact that you created the Hair Spell, a planner specifically for hairstylists, is like amazing, and hopefully they're actually using it and applying.
I hope so too. And don't get me wrong, like, it's times where I'll come out of, if I notice like, okay, I got enough accomplished, like I can move the money into some leisure, I will. But that just depends on the season. The season that I'm in right now,
we buckle don't have, down, grind time. I love that.
So between me creating the planner and just really seeing how my finances is growing, or how, where I'm able to, you know, place the money in the business so the business can continue growing, I'm like, oh yeah, this works for me. I'm gonna stick here with it. Kind of thing.
I love it.
Yeah, I think you can enjoy your leisure a lot more as well if you have a little extra money saved. Like, if you're spending your last dollars to take this trip, you know, in the back of your mind, you're like, oh man.
Those are the worst types of vacations. Right. Like, when you know you don't have it and you go anyway, those are the worst types of vacations.
But I think what you can do is really work on your budget. So that's something I did this year. I said, okay, during my journey of health, I'm trying to get down to a certain weight. I'm actually under 200 pounds. It's been like 10 years under 200 pounds.
Wow.
Right? And it's not even that. And it's one of those things. We know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right? But I got into more of the science behind health. Right? So then I said, okay, what if I just stop eating out?
Right.
Right? And I'm someone that has been eating out my whole life.
Mikey used to eat out breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Every lunchtime, you know, I'm eating out.
Yeah.
And I'm still not really eating out much. But what I found this time was I didn't eat out for about 6 weeks straight.
Nice.
And
like nothing?
Nothing.
Not Everything even a.
Cooked from home, brought my lunch.
Nice.
No delivery. No, nothing.
Okay.
And what I found is now I feel like I'm so excited to go out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I was doing it just out of necessity for you need to eat something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And when you, I've never really done this in my life, but it's kind of a challenge. It's not that I don't have the means to eat out every meal. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, is it really what you need?
Yeah.
Right. So now when we were in New Orleans, we'd go out, we'd pick a place to eat. I was like, wow, I'm actually excited to go out to eat. Like, this is exciting. You know, I actually went out for the first time in Atlanta, I think this year, Friday night, to a couple of local bars.
Wow. Yeah.
And I like to go out.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. I only went out for a couple hours. As I said, I had so much fun. So
what did you learn from in that period of not eating out for 6 weeks? I meant 6 months.
No,
how long? What, 6 weeks? Yeah. Like, what did you learn? What discipline did you gain? Or was there anything that said, like, you're living better, or you're operating in this area better because you sacrificed in this area? Yes. Or what did you learn?
Like, my life was so much better.
Yeah.
So my energy levels were much more level.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is kind of, in business, I go through these cycles. So some years I'll be like in all these different countries for a while.
Yeah.
And then some years I'm going to be like, okay, this year we're working.
Yeah.
Like, and this is one of those years where it's a good year where things are down for most businesses. I mm-hmm. think this is the year we come back and work mm-hmm. because it will be like 10x what we get from it.
Where
a lot of people are like, oh, it's slow, so I'm not going to do anything. No, we do 10 times more.
Yep.
So what I learned is from a health perspective is you don't really need to eat as much. I started doing fasting
mm-hmm.
Where I don't eat lunch till 1 p.m. See, in my mind, I thought that was impossible, mm-hmm. right? And this is similar to when we start businesses for people. They're like, oh, well, no, that's like impossible. I was like, well, if your life depended on it, do you think you could get
you
it?
Could,
like, right. Well, if my life depended on it.
Yeah.
I was like, you have to treat your business like your life depends on it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right? 100%. And people just, most people aren't willing to make the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So I felt that my energy levels were better. I just felt better overall. Blood pressure came down. Weight came down. I mean, like getting out of bed, 5 pounds makes a huge difference getting out of bed in the morning, right? I was working out like crazy. My scheduling, everything, my mind was more clear. And it still is today because I'm back on kind of this grind of, you know, depending on where I eat. But before, I always had to have breakfast.
Mm.
I love breakfast.
Yeah.
Like breakfast, pancakes, French toast, or at least a smoothie in the morning.
Yeah.
So when I said, I'm not going to eat till one, I literally thought that was impossible. And then just doing it, I was like, first day, I said, okay, the first day is going to be the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to get easier from there.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And then it kind of re-energized me for business of like some things that I know that are challenging. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, this is actually not that hard if you really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been helping me excel in certain areas of business, but it's been a very interesting journey. Something that I've never in my life done. I started going to a sauna. Have you ever been in a sauna? Like those hot saunas?
Yeah.
You've been in a sauna? It took me, I'm not going to say it, 46 years to go in my first sauna. And I was like, this is freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm. It works so when you have like braids or something like this. But I would not go in a sauna like this unless I was getting ready to go get my hair done.
It is a game changer for me. So I started doing that. So just things that people say, hey, you should try this. And I'm looking at really successful people. I think that's something that we have to be careful of who we learn from.
Oh, definitely.
Because if there's a lot of people that just put out information mm-hmm. for views, and there's people that have actually done stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to learn from those that have done things. And it's kind of proven.
Definitely.
And that's been just a total game changer. Very interesting year.
Yeah, I love it. So being a new business owner, fairly new, is there any one or two people who you've like learned from or kind of follow their path when it comes to business?
Yeah. Erica.
Yeah.
Erica. She's probably the person I trust the most with my business, mm-hmm. obviously, because we're in the same industry.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from her. Everything else has been just a matter of seeing what other people have done. Because I can pretty much learn from other people's mistakes. I'm mm-hmm. one of those people. I don't necessarily have to. I got it.
Yeah.
So we've been pretty much learning together. Me more so than her because she already knows it. And then, of course, like I say, everyone that I'm seeing in the industry that I'm like, okay, well, that looks like it works or that looks like it doesn't work. And I've just been kind of taking it, making it my own, keeping it as true to myself as I can possibly do. So,
love it.
For those that don't know who Erica is, she basically is
the brains behind.
She's the boss behind Browner Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay. She's been with them for like 30 years.
Yeah. She's awesome. So, going through, I spent 4 years in the salon, left, got your own suite, and then you created the Hairspell digital planner budgeting for hairstylists. What was that process like? Or first you kind of talked about why you created it,
right?
Because you weren't great with money and you said, hey, I just need to get this together. So what was that process like starting it? Like, did you have a thought? Just walk us through kind of start to now.
Okay. This whole thing started from a spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. I was going through trying to figure out what phases in my life or what areas in my life that needed healing, basically.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And finances was a big thing. So I was like, okay, I know what I want to do with my business. I'm going to give myself 2 years to figure this out. So the first year I sat down and I wrote out a budget, like just something on Excel, just mm-hmm. a spreadsheet, just to track every day. Like, how much am I making at the top of the day? How much am I spending on product? How much am I using to, you know, eat during lunch, at work, all of that stuff, overhead, all of that. And then I was like, okay, well, it works for me as a daily tracker, but for some people it may work better as a weekly. So mm-hmm. I expand it into weekly and then monthly. And then it just grew from there, honestly, between me just learning the best way to keep my money in my pocket mm-hmm. as a stylist.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I think other people could use this. This seems like it would be helpful. Because for me, it was hard trying to track. I bought like so many budget planners or digital yeah. planners. It was hard tracking as a stylist because we do make money so frequently.
Frequently, yeah.
So yeah, I started with the daily and expanded into the monthly. And then I started adding in sections that I felt like stylists don't know, or areas that stylists were not necessarily educated in. My biggest recent spell was I wanted to purchase a home. Mm-hmm. And when I went to my tax professional, it was like, well, yeah, you're making the money, but you're also writing it off on your business mm-hmm. because it was all in one pot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, how do I break this down? Because I want to purchase a home next year. And I sat down with my professional and they were like, okay, this is what you're going to do. Start a business account.
Yeah.
Stream everything through the business account and basically start working on building business credit so you can take care of yourself, you know, just kind of work it there. I'm not going to give all the tea. But, that's kind of what happened. So I was like, yeah, I think this is information that other stylists can use, because in this industry, I feel like the first thing I learned when it came time to do my taxes was, well, not even learn, the first myth that we all hear is, oh, underwrite what you're making on the government, you know, to the government, or just take cash, don't take card. And I'm like, how do you plan on building a life with that? Like, yeah, right. Cash is cool to mm-hmm. say you have it, but you can't purchase a home. You can't purchase a car. You don't have enough money, you know, basically.
You can't live. You can live, but there's no credit.
Credit is what brings success.
Exactly. Yeah, and opportunities.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
So I was like, yeah, that's not my tea. Like, I like to live stable and, again, credit. I have a pretty good credit score and I like to keep it there. So
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and insert this information in here so other stylists and professionals can know. And if you ever hear that lie, please don't listen to it. They are screwing you up, I mm-hmm. swear. Even came down to the first year that I actually did my taxes, I ended up owing the government. And the best way for me to pay it off was I created a budget. Made sure I set it up online mm-hmm. and now they pull the money.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't have to worry about it. But I learned from that experience, the next tax season, I'm not going to do it like this. And now I'm just growing into, okay, now we have business. Now we have personal. Everything is separate. What you made over here is what you made, but the business did this, right?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where I've been growing in.
And it's so important to have a great tax person. Absolutely. As well. I won't even get into my tax for stories, but it's important to have the right tax person. So did you design the planner yourself?
I did. I did everything by myself, like from the logo.
Nice.
To
did you use Photoshop or Canva or whatever?
I did it all on Canva. Okay. And I did get cussed out about it, but
really, mm-hmm. what?
Because from my understanding, there's a better system for professionals and as far as graphics, better than Canva. But obviously, I feel like I'm, you know, just starting out, so I wanted to see what Canva was giving, and
okay.
Canva gave what it needed to give.
Yeah,
for what you're doing. Canva is great.
Yeah.
You can use Adobe Illustrator and these.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huge learning curve.
Yeah, yes. It is. It takes a lot to learn. Lot. Photoshop, all those things.
You know, you can do them very well in Canva.
Yeah. Yes. I've seen someone do a design in Adobe and then turn around and do a design in Canva. And I could not tell the difference between. Mm-mm. I asked for the editable file for me to be able to go in and change stuff. And he was like, oh, I did the second one in Canva, so I'll just share the design with you. And I was like, what the heck? Get out of here.
So in my eyes, yeah. Because I'm still new to this. I'm creative, but I guess I don't really catch what you guys would see as your experience. But Canva did what it had to do.
Oh, yeah. Canva, like, listen, I use Canva every single day. Every day. Yeah, every day.
Everything that goes, every message that needs to go on my salon pages, my website, my mm-hmm. Instagram, Canva.
Yeah.
But I do plan on learning, you know, other apps as well. But I loaded everything through Canva in GoodNotes and hyperlinked it to make sure it was easy for people to move through the pages. And that was that.
Yeah. And there's something great about you're a master cosmetologist and you do hair, but now you also have a stream of revenue that you don't have to touch. You don't have to do any work to. You've created a digital document that literally is just on autopilot. So that's, if you're listening to this, that's something to think about so that you're not always having to be in the field, especially when you're in a service-based industry. You want to create a product or a digital product that can literally sell on its own.
Right.
Save that thought, because I haven't told you we're going to record another episode after this. It's going to be perfect for the next
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Actually, if you need to, if you ever think of printing it and you need someone to look at it, I'd be happy to look at the document.
Yes, I can definitely.
I might not be nice, but I will give you the honest truth.
Yeah.
But then if you ever wanted to print it into a spiral notebook, because I helped India with
medical,
a book, the Wig Medical Workbook and Starter Guide, and Dallas saw it. And I said, oh, Dallas, look, India just brought these over for us to look at. And Dallas like, oh my God, Mikey, this is giving Paul Mitchell. Like, this is as good as Paul Mitchell would make.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it's really nice. So I have like a great printing company.
I was about to say, I'm not sure who you use, but I also have a vendor referral that's based in Atlanta. So if you need that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
For sure. It makes a big difference, because if you get it printed from the wrong place, it can be way more expensive. Like, I did one test at Office Depot, Edgewood Shopping Center, whatever that one is. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it was really expensive and it was really not that good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm definitely going to be in contact with you guys about that.
Definitely. So what type of feedback have you gotten from the planner?
Oh, my goodness.
From stylists.
So I actually basically first launched it at Brunner Brothers. And so far.
This past. Nice. Oh,
so it's new.
Yes, new. Okay.
It's very, very new.
Okay.
So far, so good. People were very appreciative for the fact that I was able to kind of build something that would help us in the way that we needed the most.
Love it.
Because, you know, we all want to build a little generational wealth in this business. So it was like, oh, I can sit down and see my finances. And a lot of people love the shopping list that I added
into
the budget, because I broke everything up from personal to business.
Is that a hair shopping list or
whatever? Personal shopping list, business shopping list. I broke it. Oh, I put two for each category.
Got it. Okay.
If you know, sit down and be like, okay, in my household and my personal life, I need deodorant.
Got it. So okay.
All that stuff. You have your own shopping list, and you have your business shopping list. That way, you won't get it mixed in and confused.
Actually, love that. Pretty good tip for those using this planner: when you have the business shopping list and you're in the hair industry, make sure you have private label.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Label, make sure they get their tape ins. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. So what do you have going on now? Any exciting things coming up outside of the planner? Where can people find you?
Okay, yes. I'm actually about to start doing pre-orders on my satin silk pillowcases.
Yes. I was in Ulta maybe 3 days ago, and I was like, I need a new satin silk pillowcase. So definitely.
Yes. Oh, please. Trust me. I'm going to get you guys. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. But I had been working on that line for the last year, and it went south, and now we are gearing up to go again.
Nice.
This time a lot better, and they are all 100% handmade. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty dope, actually, if you ask me. And honestly, just trying to expand the hair spell as much as I can. Expand Brealissa, trying to be a vessel in the community, in the industry. Helping other people do what I've been taught or what I'm learning and going through all of that. And people can find me at Brealissa on Instagram. And you can shop the budget planner and the pillowcases soon at the hair spell.
Yes. Okay. And where are you located? Where is your salon located?
My salon is in Morrow, Georgia. I am at the new My Salon Suites, which has also partnered with L'Oreal and all of the big names.
Yeah.
So pretty interested.
Nice. So if you're in the Morrow area or surrounding areas, make sure you guys check out Brealissa. She's a healthy hair specialist, but does some extensions.
Absolutely. Yep. Quick weaves, sew-ins, ponytails. I love a good quick weave.
Oh, yeah.
I love a great quick weave.
Yeah, so make sure you check her out. Follow her on Instagram, all of the other platforms that she's on. And make sure, literally, all the hairstylists, you guys need to get this planner.
Absolutely.
Invest in the planner, because I'm sure it'll be a great investment. You'll get an ROI from using the planner, especially for people who have no idea how to budget their revenue. Yep.
Yes.
Definitely. So make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, Hair Biz Radio, leave comments, let us know who you want to hear from, what different topics you want to hear from next time, so we can bring you what you're asking for. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Bree, for hanging with us today.
I appreciate it.